This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Oh, the burdens a great wizard such as myself must bear, lo. But we do all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep things like, oh, I don't know, being responsible for the loss of your fellow wizard's immortality, all bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to work through whatever's weighing you down. Going to therapy has taught me that I don't have to react to every emotion I feel, even though those emotions are valid. Sometimes taking a moment is all you need to respond in a way that's truer to your values. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/magic today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/magic.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
All right, we're going to try making this call again.
Hello.
Hi. Is this a recording? All right, if not, we offer greetings from...
Thank you for contacting the Bunker Guardian High Command.
Damn it!
We are open between 10 and 11.
All right, it's just before 11.
And if you get this message, we are now closed.
I am going to go grind my exoskeleton against the Trash Ravager. And not in a good way.
Please try again later.
Have you ever actually spoken to these people?
It's been a while.
I mean, they do know you, right?
Oh, they know me. Look, Trisha, why don't you just go ahead with the other bunkery stuff while I knock out a few cathartic watercolors?
Yeah, you do that. Because what we really need is 10 more pictures of rowboats taped to the fridge. Well, listeners, once again, it's up to Trish. Mostly because the other choices are a broken robot and a malignant narcissist. Oh, and a cargo bay full of dead me clones. Boy, do I hate remembering those. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is everything you need to know. About 3.9-something years ago, I don't know exactly. You know, someone emailed me an Excel spreadsheet to figure out exactly how long I've been here. So thank you, Troy, for emailing that to me and setting that up. I cannot get Excel to work on my laptop. But
it's so weird to me that you said 3.9 something, because the 0.9 suggests specificity, but then the something just washes it away.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's not. It's more. It's 3.9. The something would be another integer that would go after the nine that I'm not
when
sure
did you,
about.
When did you learn the word integer?
You know what? I was old enough to remember it, but not old enough to fully understand it.
Okay. It just feels like you're throwing it around pretty loosely.
When did you learn the word integer?
When I studied math.
Oh.
He's got you there.
Oh, well, anyway, I keep recording this podcast here in the tavern, the Vermilion Minotaur, in the town of Hog's Face in the land of Foon. And I am joined, as always, by my good integer, Chunt the Talking Badger.
Yeah, baby.
How you doing, bud?
Doing great. I just got some exciting news. My mom is coming to town soon.
I have not met your mom.
I haven't seen her in a while. She sends me, you know, some care packages, but face-to-face, I haven't seen her in a little bit. It's been a while.
It can be nerve-wracking to meet your friend's mother, especially when, as I understand it, she's a terrifying monster in a good way.
Why terrifying? Well, why use an adjective like terrifying to describe someone's mother?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's
she's a monster for sure.
Manticore?
Yes.
And that's like a...
What's your mom?
retired math teacher?
And would I say, oh, and Arnie's mom, a terrifying retired math teacher?
Well, it depends on your relationship to math.
Wait a second. Did we know your mom was a math teacher?
That seems like pretty
big news.
I don't talk about it.
The apple does fall far from the tree.
Apple?
Your mom was a math teacher?
My mother was a math teacher.
Are you joking?
I am not joking. I have never told a joke on this podcast.
How did she teach you? Did you have her as a teacher in school?
Well, sure. She was an elementary school, and junior high math teacher, so I'm pretty good up to that level. But you know what? Once I get past what integer means, it falls right off.
This is a revelation. This is incredible.
What did your mom do, Chen?
I
guess I could ask her myself.
Yeah, you'll find out soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also joined by...
What did your dad do?
My father was a basketball coach.
Mm. Did he win?
How active would you say he was?
Very active. Like
sexually?
Well,
you were born, so.
Yeah, all right. Let's just cool it on the stuff with my parents.
All right.
Who are real people and not terrifying monsters. I'm also joined by this other terrifying monster, Usidore the Wizard.
I am Usidore, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights.
I'm working on a joke. I'll have one soon.
Devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakus. The elves know me as Fianyalak. The dwarves know me as Zonin and Hugstengis, and I am known in the northeast as Gasmuinius Maystar, and there may be other secret names. Names of such great power that if I were to utter them aloud, why, I could certainly undo the chances for the 41 buzzards.
You just wrote down integer on a piece of paper.
That's pretty good. I was saving that one for near the end. That could have been a good, like, button on the whole episode kind of joke. Ugh, what an integer.
We're trying to put buttons on the episode?
It's a comedy term. You guys wouldn't understand. Why does it matter? This is not even a comedy podcast.
Well, I am very excited about the upcoming Mittens games.
Sports.
I've been watching my buzzards win games left and right. And soon there's going to be an exhibition game right here in Foon. The new team from Hogsface is going to play all the orcs who've just been standing around doing nothing.
The orcs are going to play?
Oh, yes, they've been learning the game, and they're quite good at it. They aren't as good at killing birds as wizards are, because they mostly have to grab them and bite their heads off.
Oh, God.
Which is unpleasant for me particularly, but I understand. That's how you play the game.
Yeah, and if the buzzards want some help, Arnie, if your dad was a sports coach, what's some advice you could give them?
Well, you know what? We had a good game out there. Everybody tried really hard. And, you know what? We just got to keep focusing on the next game. That's most of what I learned.
You didn't use the word fundamentals once. Reps?
Practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect?
Yeah, there's no I in team.
Mm-hmm.
Clear eyes, full hearts, no defeat.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. A lot of these come from, there was a coach maybe 30, 40 years ago. There was a coach carved from an oak tree. His name was Wooden John, and he had a lot of good advice, a lot of sage wisdom for a lot of sports players that they still follow today.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of people are a fan of Coach Taylor, who is just the coach who is also a tailor.
Oh, makes clothes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to do something in the off season.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
A lot of people like Pentagon offense.
I'm not going to get a lot of these.
Nothing to get.
No, sure.
We're just chatting.
Usidore, you've been spending a lot of time with the orcs. Like, I don't like to make sort of like sweeping generalizations, but the orcs are all evil, right?
Arnie, may I share something with you that I have learned? For my journey here in Foon as a great wizard is to go all throughout the land and learn all about all manner of beasts.
Is it too late to say no?
Force of nature. And I here for so long to think the orcs to be nothing but evil.
He was avoiding eye contact with me.
I have learned some great lesson.
How can we jump off of this lesson?
Stronger in my battle against the Dark Lord. And that lesson is this, Arnie.
Okay, well, at least it's almost over.
That lesson that I learned in my great travails across this wonderful land.
Yeah.
By so many lessons, and this stacked upon each lesson that has come before, like a brick wall growing higher and higher and stronger and stronger. Yea, I tell thee, These orcs, given the proper motivation, being taught to read a little bit, given something positive to do, like recreational sports. There are good orcs. They, like any other creature of Foon or Earth, have the capability of both good and evil.
Oh.
And it is but a choice that they are made or forced into by the sadness of their circumstances. The Dark Lord has done a great evil unto them. I shall set them each free.
What about starlings?
Fuck starlings. They're the worst. They're all terrible. Every single one.
Oh, speaking of flying stuff, is it just me or are there some bats flying around the air?
I thought it was like a bunch of birds or maybe
just like a lot of bugs.
Oh, yes, yeah. There are a lot of bats in here tonight.
Maybe a cavalcade of butterflies? Can't tell what that is.
Yeah, just like an assortment of shit in the air. Like airship. You know, airship. Fair.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, it's a series of bats.
Are you sure? It seems like an unrandomized group of bats, but I don't know if I'd call that a series.
No, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Look,
five,
if it's a series of bats, I'd be very excited to talk to it, but I'm a little bit nervous to engage what might just really be a random series of bats.
I mean, what would that hurt, to speak to some bats?
I'm a little afraid of bats.
Well, what is there to be afraid of a bat for?
I don't know, they're just kind of...
That wasn't a setup to a joke.
What?
What's a bat for? Sitting?
Wait, you sit on a bat?
Never mind.
Guys, this is why we never tell jokes on this podcast.
I'm terrible at it.
Well, let's play cool, and if the bats want to talk to us, they'll sit down and talk to us.
Yeah, it's a power, real power move.
Yeah.
I'll set out this bowl.
Let's look anywhere except for at the bats, because they're kind of clustered together.
I'm looking away, but I'm pushing this wooden bowl over to the other side of the table.
Okay. I'm going to put some fruit down, just in case they're fruit bats. Maybe put some blood down as well, just in case they're vampire bats.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, my good friends. It's not just a random series of bats, and it's not air shit. It's me, your good friend, Tomblaine Belleroth, and I'm glad to be back at this very table.
Tomblaine, that's you?
Does it help if I do this?
What
an amazing actor you are. Even when you told me you weren't a series of bats, I thought you were still a series of bats.
Well, part of it is you've got to move so quickly, because to appear as though you're 26 bats simultaneously in locations that are too far apart for a person to be, you have to move so quickly that you trick the eye. You know, a lot of magicians will distract with one hand while they're doing sleights with the other hand.
Amazing.
And what I do is I play a little bat over here, and then I'm a bat over here, and I'm a bat over here, and I'm moving so quickly, really, that you think that I'm in all those places at once. It's sort of a trick of the eye.
Well, these magicians, what kind of sleights do they do with their hand? Is it like filling out invitations to a party, but not one of their friends?
Yeah, sometimes they're writing passive-aggressive thank you notes that, if you read them in a certain tone, sound like, thanks a lot for the birthday gift. And sometimes that's a note they'll send when there was no birthday gift at all, so it's just a reminder to you that you didn't send anything. They're recording sleights, I guess, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Magicians, you know, well, Usador probably knows.
Oh, yes, there's all sorts of slights that one might be offended by. I am offended very easily.
Yes, magicians often are, because they know that in a world where there's magic, things should go right all the time.
Well, of course.
And if they're not going right, well, then, you know, it's worth to record slights.
That's right. It's so easy to make everything go right, just to use magic. Why don't all of you idiots just use magic?
I try sometimes. I learned a little bit of dark magic.
Yeah, I've done a little bit of magic.
Yeah, well, not enough.
Well, Tom, so what have you been up to? It's been a long time. Last I heard, you were putting on your one-man show about being a bunch of bats?
Yes, my one-man show of a series of bats. And I came to realize that that's just a part of my life. And it took me a journey from being a prince to being an actor to being the girlfriend of a baron to... being a series of bats.
You were spies for a while, I think.
And being spy. I mean, I'm not listing everything, but it made me
I think that was all of them.
I think that's everything.
My journey is very universal. this is a story that everyone can relate to. And that's why I have written this.
Oh, that is a big book.
Wow.
Yes, well, it's got all my life in it. And it's sort of a self-help autobiography. And
how many spells are in it?
Well, there are some spells, Usador. You might be surprised. Spells that have been used on me, spells that I've tried. But more than anything, this is a sort of magic where I'm reaching out to the reader. Now, they might not be exactly, you know, a northeastern prince who is posing as a series of bats in the forest while fucking an acorn.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not your specific life story, I don't want you to think, oh, this book is not for me. Let's say you're a duchess who ran away and is posing as a series of voles. I think you could learn equally from this book.
There are enough parallels there that you can still draw some useful advice.
It doesn't have to be a one-to-one.
No.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And you might read about some of the things that I've done in my life, and you might think, well, I didn't do that exact thing. Don't stop reading, because you might have done something that's similar. So I sort of lay out my story in 7 parts, and I give you some tools that you can use in your life. And what I'm really here for is an MPMS.
MPMS.
Sorry, multi-platform marketing strategy.
Oh.
Oh, tell me more about this strategy.
Well, I'm doing a round of podcasts right now. I'm going on book tour in Vishtosh. And then I'm sort of presenting this, and I really want to get the word out. I've bought some carriage space, and I thought your podcast would be the first one that I would go on to sort of announce my book.
Because you want to start on a smaller podcast and work your way up to something like Getting Nuts.
I would love to do Getting Nuts. Thank you so much. I wouldn't presume to do a podcast that big. I thought I could walk into this one.
Oh, well, let's see how this goes, and then we'll go from there.
Anytime you can come into Hello from Magic Tavern. No one cares about this show. But speaking of Getting Nuts, that's the last time we saw you, Tom Blaine. And I didn't want to ask at the time, because you had Alice P. Korn there with you.
Yes.
But whatever happened to Rhiannon?
Yeah, the milkmaid?
She moves like a bell in the night, and of course I would love to love her. But she's back in the northeast, and I've found, you know, somewhat of happiness in the woods with a nut up my butt, and I sort of feel like...
Tale as old as time?
Yes, well, the tale grows bit by bit every day, so it's only as old as when you put the nut in there. But as long as you water your butthole, you will get a tale.
Which is just good advice.
Yeah, that's healthy.
And if not exactly that same thing has happened to you, perhaps you have something other than a nut up your butt that you're watering, like a seed.
Yeah, don't stop listening now if it's not exactly your life.
It's not a one-to-one.
Yeah, you can draw things from this that's similar to your life.
But I'm sorry, back to the strategy that you suggested for a moment. I'm always interested in strategy. Oh, new ways, new paths of thinking that may help me defeat mine enemies. Is there any way I can learn more about this strategy and give you money?
Oh, yes. Well, perfect. Thank you. That's a perfect question. So the book is called Think You Can't Change Your Life? I Bet You Can.
And I'm sorry. Could you say that one more time?
Think You Can't Change Your Life? I Bet You Can. And guess how bat is spelled?
B-A-T?
No, B-E-T, but it's pronounced bat.
One small criticism,
sure.
Tom. How are people going to know it's pronounced bat?
Well, because that's the joke. So it's by me, Tom Blaine Belleroth, a series of bats, and they'll get sort of like, think you can't change your life? I bet you can. Because if you wrote it, it wouldn't make sense.
Ah, yes, of course.
It's a pronunciation joke.
Yes, of course. My apologies for even
asking
such an
impertinent
question.
And we'll tell the booksellers to say it.
Yes.
So people come in and say, do you have that book by the prince that's called Think You Can't Change Your Life, I Bet You Can, and the bookseller will laugh and say, you've not gotten the joke. It's Bat You Can. Yeah.
That's an amazing plan and perfectly executed.
How do you stop people from looking at the book and thinking that it's Think You Can't Change Your Life, I Bet You Can?
Well, I think there's always going to be people who work blue in their minds. Those kinds of people will probably read it and say, oh, I think it says penis, penis, fart.
Yes, Arnie, those kind of people will think something like that.
Because if you're going to see butts everywhere, it doesn't matter how I spell a word, does it?
That's true. Penis, penis, fart, you say. Let me write that down.
So I'm looking at chapter one here, and it says all bats are off.
Yes, all bats are off, and that's sort of the beginning. That's really the prologue, right? And that's sort of saying, you want to change your life. So I break it down. I've got something, an easy thing to remember. It's the word bats, and every letter stands for something.
Ooh, so, like an acronym?
Yes, like an acronym, yeah.
Is it like an acronym, or is it an acronym?
Is it an acrostic?
Well, it's like an acronym, well, it's like those, but what it is each letter stands for something.
Mm. Ah, I see.
Yeah. So, bats. Be a good person. Always be that person. Try to be that person. Seriously.
Bats, that's a good rule.
And that spells bats.
By. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And be a good person. Always be that person. Try to be that person. Seriously.
Seriously. It's an interesting system, because in the second step, you're always supposed to be that person, but in the third step, you only have to try.
Well, anyone who's gotten to A knows that you can't always be. That's something that you try. And then, so when you're at the A and you're thinking, I should always be a good person, and then, let's say, you kill your sister or something, then you think, I didn't do it. And then, so you say, I've got to try to be that person.
Hmm. Oh, that reminds me. Did you kill your sister?
No, but I think I might do. Oh, because... Okay. She's trying to kill me. This is one of the things from my book. This journey has made me realize I need to be more assertive and I need to go after things. And so if someone is chasing me, maybe I should turn around and stab them.
That's very good advice. And frankly, I wouldn't mind if you did that.
Yeah, normally I would be like, don't kill your sister. But in this case, we've met your sister and she's kind of scary.
Yes, well, she's, you know, what's terrifying about a sibling is that they've got the same strengths that you have. Because, as we all know, if your mother is good at something and your father is good at something, then you are good at both of those things. Oh, very so, good.
Arnie,
very
you're a mathlete.
Well,
you're,
you know.
Based on your mom and dad, you're a mathlete. That's a combination of math and athlete.
Well, you know, I come from a completely different world where, you know, where generation after generation overcorrects and is not good at the things that the generation before them are good at.
Oh, so they become good at other things.
Yes. So I'm good at, like, a lot of other things.
Oh, list two of them.
Real good at replacing.
Never mind. All right.
With
I mean,
you.
You're like 6'5".
I'm 6'4".
6'4", you're a big guy. I mean, you must have dominated sports.
You know what? I was great on the bench. Like hanging out at the end of the bench, talking to my teammates, having a good time, hoping to not hear from the coach telling me it's my time to go into the game.
But as soon as the bench levitates, you were unstoppable.
Oh, you used to ride the pine all the way to the basket?
Look, what I'm saying is I was really good at the parts of the game that involved sitting. Mm.
Tom Blaine.
Yes?
I know that you find it intimidating to think about facing your sister Trachea Aurelia, but let me tell you this. You do surpass her in one very specific way. I saw the play that her and Benedict Whisperbrew tried to put on. Woof.
No, it was about
you.
Dogs?
What's that?
It was about dogs?
It was about dogs, and it was not... It was...
Was it called Woof?
It was called Woof. Yes. I was saying the title of the
play. That's their play?
Yes.
I've been thinking I want to go see Woof.
Oh, you don't. It's bad. It's bad. It's a bad play.
Well, I want to sit and watch it.
I don't rub my nose in it.
Well, it's, both of you sit there and don't go see that play.
Well, it sounds like the play would be a treat.
No.
Oh.
It's based on the poems of P.S. Eliot, right?
What?
Woof. The story of dogs?
The works of P.S. Eliot?
T.S. Eliot.
Yes,
sorcerer Eliot.
Oh, that's, yes. That's his father, Terrible Sorcerer. And then P.S. Eliot was the one that sort of after T.S. Eliot, there was P.S. Eliot was like, oh, here's a few things I forgot to include in the body of my life.
And that's what a son should do, right? Is carry on their father's legacy.
Well. Yes, we're all a postscript to our parents.
Yeah.
Oh, very true.
That's
very
why
true.
We're so good at the things that they're good at. It takes them their lives and then we say, oh, and P.S., take this basketball and what's the circumference of it?
Tomlin, I'm flipping through your book here, and I found there's a few pages here on love languages. List some of the love languages. I see high fives, anal. What's all this about?
That's ways of expressing your love for another person.
Hmm.
So you can do a high five, or you can do a high five anal, like I've suggested there. And that, it just gets, it's much more intimate, much more quickly. It says to the person, look, I'm not concerned about hygiene here. I just want to get close to you.
Aren't you going to hurt your wrist?
What's that now?
Aren't you going to hurt your wrist? Just like the angle on that seems tough.
Well, I think that when I propose some sort of intimate connection with a person, and a person pushes back, oh, that's going to hurt my wrist. I think that says more about what you're afraid of than it does about the true nature of friendship.
Arnie, Chance. Bats.
Hey, Chance.
Yes.
Hey, high five anal, my man.
Ooh, high five anal. Ooh, you truly watered your butthole.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. And notice, you might think when a person says, hey, high five anal, that they're putting up their hand. But as you saw there, I'm signing up to receive. So that's true friendship when you call out to your friend.
Really?
Yeah,
beautiful.
But that's love language.
It's weird. I saw it and I still don't even understand how it works.
We don't need you to understand it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not about understanding that it works. It's about accepting that it works. It's bats, just like magic.
Arnie, bats. B-A-T-S.
Yeah,
be a good person. Always be that person. Try to be that person.
Now, I'm looking ahead at chapter 12. If I were a batting man, I'm curious about, I just want to get to the part where I get to give you money.
Oh, yes. Well, that's a good chapter to choose, because this book will get you started on your journey. But what you really need is a series of workshops from a series of bats. And so, if I were a batting man, sort of says, well, if I were, you know, it means if I were a bat and man, which I am, then I'm someone who could come to you and speak from both of those perspectives, a bat and a man, and I can show you how the lessons that I've learned as 26 individual bats can teach you about your own life, you know?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Bats have red eyes. Okay, do you know what that means?
What does it mean?
No, what does it
mean? They've done the reading.
Oh.
And that's one of the first things that you learn as a bat. You should have read it. You should have read it.
Hmm.
And bats hang upside down. Do you know why they do that?
Tomlin, don't tell me. Let me pay for the seminar.
Well, it's going to be worth it. You're going to be surprised.
I want to know. Can I get a sneak preview? Why do bats hang upside down?
You'll have to pay for the seminar. It has to do with their brains.
Well, Tom, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, I have a lot of questions about Chapter 2, Butts Entertainment. And we can really dive into that when we get back.
I think you're reading that wrong.
Scream Space, your one-stop shop for installing a fully functioning dungeon in your own home. With our easy-to-use drag-and-drop tools, you'll be dragging and dropping your enemies right down into a terrifying hole in the ground before they even have a chance to beg for mercy. Our starter pack comes with 4 sets of rusty manacles, a flickering sconce, and rats, while our monthly subscription box will deliver to your door fresh slime for your walls, a special monthly stench, and a new accessory every time. This month's is a withered old man who hangs on the wall muttering, I've been here for 40 years. Tell me, what does the sun look like? For 10% off your first purchase of Scream Space, use the discount code
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, so we're back on this very special book edition of Hello from the Magic Tavern. We're talking to Tom Blaine Belleroth, the prince in hiding, who's written a book called Something Something Bat Something Something.
Think you can't change your life? I bet you can.
You know, I have a question
but
for you.
But it's funny because bat is spelled B-A-T.
Yeah, that is true.
Do you get it now?
Well, the spelling isn't as funny as the pronunciation.
Yeah, that is true. You got to bring, you know what, there's author's intent and then there's what you bring to the text.
Yes.
That's all I really had to say on that subject.
Okay.
Tom, why is so much of this book bat focused? This is a book about your whole life, right?
Yes, but if you become a bat or a series of bats and you look back on your life, you know, so for example, in part one here, I do the Wars of the Northeast and the Rise of the Belleroths. That's just 600 pages to orient you to sort of who my family is, right? But I'm seeing that through the eyes of a bat.
Oh.
And so there's a lot of bat bulls that happen for my family to rise into control of the throne. So it's sort of like just a brief history of the Northeast, but the way that a bat might see it. And spoiler, we can't see. So it's the way we might hear it, which is much better for a book.
You know, Tom, you've got to be one of the most famous figures in all of Foon. You're the missing heir to the Belleroth throne. I think people really want to hear about that, and they might be a little bit annoyed, possibly, that they got to get through so much bat stuff.
Well, I'm sure anyone listening to this podcast wouldn't be annoyed by waiting around for a long time listening to something that has nothing to do with the main point of what's going on. Have I mentioned I have a very important quest that we all need to go on?
We'll get to it. Look, I get what you're saying. I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this podcast want us to get to the quest and are tired of us spending so much time on butt stuff. We'll get
it's
to
bat
it.
Stuff. He's saying bat, not butt.
Bat stuff. Bat stuff.
Tom Blaine, what's this section here? Bat dad, bat dad?
Bad dad, bad dad. Yeah. So it is breaking down the different kinds of father you can have. Mm. So you can have a bad dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or conversely, inversely, traversely, you could have a bat dad.
How are those spelled?
Oh, B-A-T, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the bat dad. Yeah. But if you have a bat dad, B-A-T. But it's more about inflection. And the point that I'm making there is you can't tell the difference between a good father and a bad father just by looking at them. And that's why a lot of babies stay with bad fathers.
Mm. Yes.
Because they don't know. It's not apparent.
They're
well, it is apparent.
It's
apparent. Your parent, it's apparent, but it's not a good apparent. One.
Yeah.
Now, Tom Blaine, I am loath to bring this up again, but you've spent so much time now as a series of bats. Do you not feel the call to return to the cave next to the castle and do the bat dance?
That's a great point, because in the book I talk about prophecies that didn't make sense until I was a series of bats.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners to this podcast will know, right, that I was supposed to go do the bat dance when my father died. Well, that didn't make any sense. Why would I do that? But then, over time, organically, I became a series of bats. And so that's why you just have to keep walking the path that life is sending you on.
But it's the path leading to the cave.
I am, as part of the book tour, going back to the Northeast. I plan to kill my sister and take the throne.
Wonderful!
And you can promote your book along the way!
Well, yes, and hopefully that will sort of raise the funds in the coffers for when I am king. Because, as you know, the Northeast has been spending ridiculously, and we need to reform our financial system. And I'm proposing a 70% marginal tax rate on people who are very high earners.
Well, it seems reasonable that you would reinvest that money back into the services and infrastructure that make the Northeast the great kingdom that it's always been.
So are you saying you're going to take 70% of my money?
Not your money.
People freak out because they don't understand marginal tax rates, okay?
Is this a math thing?
People who are against this know that people don't understand that. So they say, oh, they're taking 70% of your money. But it's only over millions and millions of foonies.
What? How much is a foonie?
Oh, the foonies are the currency in the Northeast. One foonie is roughly 3.5 gold.
Hmm.
Not 3.10, but 3.5.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 3.5. Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of money, Tom Blaine, I see there's a section here that's called Always Bat on Bat.
Always Bat on Bat. Yeah. And so what that's sort of saying is that if you apply the life lessons of being a bat and you're being a good person, always being that person, trying to be that person seriously, you will always come out on top.
Mm.
Now, not always.
Oh, but you just said always.
Well, what I'm saying is you will always come out on top. Right now, does that mean always? No, but
I'll try to always
come
seriously
out on top. Yeah. Seriously.
Yes, that's the second and the third steps in action right there.
Tom Blaine, are you still an actor or are you a bat?
Well, I'm all those things. I'm an actor, I'm a bat, I'm an author, I'm a prince, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. But ask me if I'm ashamed.
Are you ashamed?
I do not feel ashamed. I think that when you become a series of bats, you realize that we all contain multitudes inside of us. When you have to, as I did in my show, breathe life into 26 individual characters, well, you start asking yourself, well, what is unique about them? Well, they're bats. Well, that's true about all of them. So good luck. You're back to square one. What's it like to be a bat? Great. That's true for all of them. But what's it like to be a bat who is getting old and can't hang upside down anymore because he gets dizzy?
Have you thought about having each of the 26 bats have their own kind of personality on the book tour? Like they each give their perspective or something?
I think that's a great idea, Chan.
Have you thought about having one of them say, "Core blimey"?
That's very good, Usador. High five, anal.
There we go. Thank you.
Yes, I think that these bats could be a remarkable tool for marketing the book. But I also want people to realize that I'm ready to sort of say now that there's a person behind the bats. And that person is the missing prince of the northeast of Foon. So if you're going through your life and you feel like you're a series of bats, but also you're a prince, it's okay to be that prince. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense to me. And it seems like the culmination of this tour and your return shall be you saying, "All bats are off."
There you go. You've got it. Yes. And that takes us right back to the prologue. And that's where I walk into the throne room and I tell my family, I say to my mother, "Get your ass off that throne. It's mine."
Well, you don't have to talk to your mother that way. That's not really necessary, is it?
Well, I think it's time for me to be a little bit assertive. And, you know, my father was a king and my mother is a large-breasted temptress. So I'm good at both of those things. As everyone is who has parents, you're good at everything that they're good at.
But don't forget your own advice here, Tom Blaine. Think of your mother's perspective. She also contains multitudes
of bats. Yeah.
So she's had her own experiences that have led her to where she is?
That's true. And so you can't really be mad at anyone, but you can hold them accountable. And that's the key to being a good king. And I hope that I can be a good king for all of you and for all of my subjects. And I also hope that people can get where I'm coming from in my book. And so if they're ever like, "Well, why did the king do that?" Imagine if you had a leader who had written a book. And so then anytime they did something that seemed crazy, you could say, "Oh, well, they've written a book. There must be reasoning behind it, you know?"
Guys, I'm a little bit worried about Tom. I'm excited that he's decided to go back and reclaim his throne. I think that would be really helpful in our battle against the Dark Lord. Oh, sorry, the DL. But I think he's gotten kind of method acting crazy. Like, he's been pretending to be a series of bats for well over a year. And to be honest, we probably should have checked in on him sometime in the intervening time to make sure he was okay. I think he's like
lost
Daniel Day-Lewis-ing himself. He's going crazy.
I don't know what that means, but I think if we all go pay for this seminar or this series of seminars, it will all make perfect sense.
Yeah, I bet my left foot he got lost in the roll.
You bat your left.
I bat my left foot.
Look, I'm excited that he's heading back to the northeast in the name of his father, but...
Arnie, back to the northeast.
Oh, but it's complicated.
Bat is complicated.
Look, he's going to go back there, and there will be blood, but it's unavoidable.
Was Daniel Day-Lewis in It's Complicated?
It doesn't matter. Look, Tom Blaine.
Yes.
We're sorry, forgive our quick side talk there, but... We have some concerns in the group that perhaps you aren't quite...
You're totally baddie!
Arnie.
Thank you.
It's crucible that we get this right, okay? When we approach someone that we're trying to help, we can't just accuse them of
something. Look, I'm tired of us hanging out in this age of innocence. Let's tackle this.
You can't use mental illness as sort of a phantom menace to attack someone.
You lost the thread there.
What do you mean?
The phantom thread?
No, the phantom menace. That's the best one so far.
Now, when you return and rightfully take your place on the throne, will Alice sit by you as your queen?
Yeah, you sit in the throne in the name of the Father.
Yes. I think that Alice will be viewed as sort of a phantom menace for the whole kingdom. They don't know that she's coming. And then, you know, attack of the clones.
You're planning on having children then?
Yes, and children of acorns are clones. That's why I said that.
Yes, exactly.
We're all PS. We're all postscripts of our parents.
Yes, there you go. Yes, right. Those clones will be better at being a nut and at being a bat and all the things that we're good at. They'll be better than that.
And you just have to make sure that you actually kill Princess Trachea Aurelia, or you'll have to watch out for the revenge of the Sis.
Oh, no, that could be terrible.
Yeah, yes. that could last 9.5 years.
Oh, no, but then there'll be a new hope, and everyone will be so much happier. And then, you know, who knows? I'll be ruling solo, free solo.
Well, I, for one, would like to buy a copy of your book right now.
Well, here you go.
Would you mind inscribing it?
Ah, yes. To chant. Remember to always be a good person. Always be that person. Try to be that person. Seriously. It's been great getting to know you and your friends.
It's weird that he's saying this out loud.
And Tomlin, we're friends. Podcast. You don't need to, I mean, you just sign.
Sometimes I feel like...
You can read this later. I mean,
all he's writing is bats, 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 bats.
Come by more.
This is bad.
Often and
guys,
tell you what.
A lot of the words in this book are just bats.
Too. But... Oh. Everybody's
that's not good.
Busy, so you get what you can. Anyway,
guys, the new king of the North
I'll also
is
buy
totally
a copy.
Running out of
no
room on this page, which
guys, I am really worried
out because there's a lot I'd like to say.
What are you worried about?
I'm worried we're going to have a mad king in the Northeast.
Married?
No.
Holy shit.
I think it'll
you're
be
marrying
fine.
Tussidor? He's all
I mean, if one bat doesn't work out, then the other bat can take over. There's 26 weird. Minds working together, right?
But what am I to say once?
I don't think there's here. One mind at work here.
Anyway, simply Prince ran away to marry a milkmaid, became an actor, then became the girlfriend to a baron who was evil so he could be a spy, and then to get away from the baron, he turned into a series of bats and hid out in the forest, where he fell in love with an acorn that he puts up his butt, and now he's returning to the north to be the king. What's wrong with that?
Guys, we were talking about Daniel Day-Lewis, and he just started doing fucking Star Wars titles.
What are you talking about?
No, never
Usador,
mind.
And Usador, you want one too?
Yes, I'd like one too, please.
No.
Could you make it out to Usador, Wizard of the 12th Realm of Ephesius, Master of Light and
Usador,
Shadow?
Wizard of the 12th Realm of
Ephesius, Master of Light and Shadow.
And Shadow.
Manipulator of magical delights.
Magical delights.
Devourer of chaos.
Chaos.
Champion of the great halls of Tarkus. Known to the elves as. Terra Rakas. Known to the elves as Fiangyalik.
Fiangyalik.
Known to the dwarves as Zonin and Hoogstangis.
Please don't buy a book.
Zonin and Hoogstangis.
And known in the northeast as Gasminius Mace.
In the northeast as Gasminius May
stop. But then stop writing names, for the rest of them are secret.
Yeah, I'm not gonna buy a book. Hey, Tom, could I just get your autograph? I don't have a book, but here, could you just put it on this piece of paper?
Yes.
What the fuck are you doing?
Tom, Blaine, Bella, Roth, Prince of the North East, also all 26 bats there.
Aren't you getting any emails?
Oh, yeah.
Sherman.
That reminds me, you can always email at magictavern@puppies.supplies. It's a real email address. First of all, I would very much like to thank Troy for emailing me this Excel spreadsheet. I guess I'm going to, if I put in the date that the episode comes out, it'll tell me exactly how close to the end of the year, how close to 4 years it's been. That I fell through the dimensional portal. Oh, but also, I have this email here. The title is Wizard Runoff Theory. Arnie, do you think instead of being runoff of Usador, that you really might just be one of the many aspects of Can? Perhaps you should be known to the wizards as Toucan. I mean, you can do magic after all. Have you ever tried doing... I can't concentrate on this.
Oh, Tom Blade, would you also tell him to stay cool and have a great summer?
Stay cool. Have a great... summer. Mrs. P will miss you. No, she won't. Ha, ha, ha. That chemistry was awful.
What an into jerk.
Is that the button?
That's the button!
And he landed the integer button. If by button we mean something forgotten for 38 minutes, then shoehorned in harder than Rogue into Days of Future Past. Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Chaunt the Badger was played by Adil Rafai. Tom Blaine Belleroth, the prince turned actor turned author, was played by special guest Steve Waltin. Steve writes for the new Comedy Central show Klepper, premiering in June. Let's hope second time's the charm.
Today's Foon sponsor was written and performed by Helen Zaltzman, host of The Illusionist, a smart and funny podcast about language. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Ryan DeGiorgi, and Evan Jacover. This episode edited by Chris Rathjen. Okay, we're making this call one more time.
Thank you for contacting the Bunker Guardian High Command.
Look, I know you can hear me. I want to...
We will now be away for an exceptionally long period.
That's it. I'm writing a Yelp review.
We would like to tell you when we will return, but we don't know.
How frustrating is that?
What did you say?
I said, how frustrating is that?
Oh, because there was this whole thing on the episode where...
Well, bats a coincidence.
No.
Bats all, folks?
I hate this.
Well, I hate you too, so we're even.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels...
There are murders in all of the books.
...that she was playing them out in real life? You can listen to Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.